This is a Zero Agenda News podcast. This episode is based on an evidence-graded timeline research paper published at zeroagendanews.com. Every claim in the paper is labeled by confidence and tied to sources, so what follows separates documented fact from inference and interpretation. How Chinese state enterprises armed Pakistan, North Korea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Syria with ballistic and cruise missile capability. The paper covers the period from 1971 to 2025. It has 24 timeline entries. The timeline includes 22 entries graded as fact and 2 entries graded as conjecture. The episode follows the strongest points in the record and keeps the confidence labels audible. The first phase is early foundations, from 1971 to 1990. September 1971, China and North Korea sign missile cooperation agreement. North Korea signs an agreement with China to acquire, develop, and produce ballistic missiles. The arrangement gives North Korea access to Chinese missile research and reorganizes its Soviet-derived programs. A joint development program for the DF-61, a Scud C-class missile with a 600 km range, begins around 1976 and runs until 1978, when China cancels it for domestic political reasons. This entry is graded as fact. December 1986. China finalizes secret CSS-2 ballistic missile deal with Saudi Arabia. China concludes a secret agreement to sell Saudi Arabia approximately 50 CSS-2, DF-3A intermediate-range ballistic missiles and 9 launchers, at an estimated cost of $3.5 billion. The CSS-2 has a range of about 2,700 kilometers and is capable of delivering a nuclear warhead. The deal is negotiated without United States knowledge and bypasses all existing export notification mechanisms. This entry is graded as fact. January-March 1988, United States intelligence discovers CSS-2 deliveries, confronts Riyadh. United States intelligence detects Chinese construction activity at Saudi missile bases in January 1988 and determines the missiles are already delivered. The United States confronts the Saudi government in March 1988. A second consignment of DF-3 missiles, with drastically improved accuracy, arrives in April 1988. By mid-1990, the CSS-2s are deployed and operational at 2 sites, Al-Sulayl and Al-Jaffa, both south of Riyadh. This entry is graded as fact. The second phase is the M-11 and M-9 era, from 1991 to 2000. June 1991, Bush administration imposes first MTCR sanctions on China for M-11 transfer to Pakistan. President Bush determines that China transferred M-11 short-range ballistic missile technology to Pakistan, violating MTCR guidelines. The M-11 has the inherent capability to deliver a 500 kilograms warhead 300 kilometers, placing it squarely within MTCR category I restrictions. Sanctions are imposed on Chinese and Pakistani entities, denying United States export licenses for missile equipment and high-speed computers for 2 years. This entry is graded as fact. August 1993, Clinton administration imposes second round of M-11 sanctions on China and Pakistan. The State Department formally determines on 24 August 1993 that China again transferred M-11-related missile equipment to Pakistan. Category II MTCR sanctions are imposed on Pakistan's Ministry of Defense and 11 Chinese defense industrial and aerospace entities. The determination covers transfers of missile components, not complete missiles, a distinction China exploits to contest the designation, United States. This entry is graded as fact. October 1994, United States and China sign missile export agreement, sanctions waived. Following intensive diplomacy, the United States and China sign a bilateral agreement in which China pledges not to export ground-to-ground missiles with MTCR Category I characteristics. The United States waives the 1993 sanctions in exchange. United States. This entry is graded as fact. Mid-1990s, China transfers C-802 anti-ship cruise missiles to Iran. Following the 1991 Gulf War, Iran purchases C-802 anti-ship cruise missiles from China. By mid-1997, Iran has approximately 60 C-802s deployed in coastal batteries on Keshem Island. The United States objects strongly. Congress calls for sanctions. Ahead of the October 1997 United States-China summit, China agrees to halt further C-802 exports. This entry is graded as fact. The third phase is continued transfers under diplomatic cover, from 2001 to 2019. September 2001, Bush administration sanctions Chinese entity for post-pledge Pakistan transfer. Within a year of China's November 2000 missile export pledge, the Bush administration imposes MTCR proliferation sanctions on a Chinese company for transferring missile technology to Pakistan. The action effectively denies satellite exports to the entity. This entry is graded as fact. September 2003, State Department sanctions NOINCO for missile technology exports. The State Department imposes missile proliferation sanctions on NOINCO, China North Industries Corporation, one of China's largest state-owned defense conglomerates, effectively denying it United States government contracts and satellite exports. It is one of three separate rounds of sanctions imposed on Chinese entities in 2003 alone. NOINCO denies wrongdoing. This entry is graded as fact. 2011, Wanchen Special Vehicle Company exports WS51200 heavy chassis to North Korea. The Wanchen Special Vehicle Company, a Chinese state-linked manufacturer, exports 6-8 WS51200 16-axle heavy-duty chassis to North Korea in two shipments, May and October 2011. The sales contract specifies civilian timber transport. Chinese officials later confirm the sales to the United Nations Panel of Experts. This entry is graded as fact. April 2012, North Korea displays Chinese-derived ICBM launches at military parade. At the 100th anniversary parade in Pyongyang on 15 April 2012, North Korea displays six road mobile ICBMs mounted on the converted WS51200 launchers. Analysts at 38 North and the Middlebury Institute quickly identify the Chinese origin of the vehicles from commercial satellite imagery and publicly available specifications. This entry is graded as fact. The fourth phase is 2020's enforcement wave, from 2020 to 2025. January 2022. United States imposes missile proliferation sanctions on three Chinese entities. The State Department publishes a Federal Register notice imposing missile proliferation sanctions on three entities in the People's Republic of China under the Arms Export Control Act and the Export Administration Act. The sanctions deny United States government procurement and export licenses for missile equipment. This entry is graded as fact. June 2023, Treasury sanctions Chinese entities in Iran missile propellant procurement network. The United States Treasury Department targets a network of entities including China-based firms involved in procuring missile propellant ingredients for Iran's ballistic missile program. The action is part of a series of Treasury designations disrupting Iran's transnational procurement networks for both ballistic missiles and unmanned aerial vehicles. Chinese entities appear in multiple nodes of the procurement chain. This entry is graded as fact. October 2023. State Department sanctions three Chinese entities for Pakistan ballistic missile support. In October 2023, the State Department announces sanctions on General Technology Limited, Beijing Luo Luo Technology Development Co. Limited, and Changzhou Yutech Composite Company Limited, for working to supply missile-applicable items to Pakistan's ballistic missile program. The subsequent Federal Register notice states that the designations were made on 18 October 2023 under Executive Order 13382. This entry is graded as fact. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The pledge and waiver cycle is the mechanism, not an exception. The record shows a recurring policy pattern: transfer allegations or determinations, United States sanctions, Chinese diplomatic pledges, partial relief, and later sanctions against new Chinese entities. The pledges cited in the paper contain no comparable verification mechanism. The result is not a single enforcement failure, but a durable cycle in which Washington repeatedly treated sanctions as episodic penalties rather than a sustained constraint on the supply network. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. China's government and Chinese entities are not the same thing, and that ambiguity is deliberate. United States sanctions consistently target Chinese entities, companies, institutes, trading firms, rather than the Chinese government itself. Beijing maintains plausible deniability by never formally authorizing transfers in writing, while state ownership of the entities involved makes the separation legally convenient but operationally fictitious. NOINCO, Wanchen Special Vehicle, China Precision Engineering Institute, and China Great Wall Industry are all state-owned or state-affiliated. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The transfers have permanently altered the regional missile balance. Pakistan's missile program absorbed Chinese M11-related technology during its formative period. Iran's coastal anti-ship missile arsenal drew on the C-802 foundation. North Korea's 2012 mobile ICBM display depended on Chinese-origin heavy vehicles converted into launchers. Saudi Arabia's strategic missile force was built around Chinese CSS-2s after the 1988 deliveries. These are not theoretical risks. The transfers shaped operational systems across the Middle East, South Asia, and Northeast Asia. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The pledge and waiver cycle is the mechanism, not an exception. The record shows a recurring policy pattern: transfer allegations or determinations, United States sanctions, Chinese diplomatic pledges, partial relief, and later sanctions against new Chinese entities. The pledges cited in the paper contain no comparable verification mechanism. The result is not a single enforcement failure, but a durable cycle in which Washington repeatedly treated sanctions as episodic penalties rather than a sustained constraint on the supply network. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. China's government and Chinese entities are not the same thing, and that ambiguity is deliberate. United States sanctions consistently target Chinese entities, companies, institutes, trading firms, rather than the Chinese government itself. Beijing maintains plausible deniability by never formally authorizing transfers in writing, while state ownership of the entities involved makes the separation legally convenient but operationally fictitious. NOI and CO, Wanshan Special Vehicle, China Precision Engineering Institute, and China Great Wall Industry are all state-owned or state-affiliated. The practical recommendation is direct: abandon entity-by-entity sanctions as the primary tool. Sanctioning individual Chinese companies after transfers have already occurred has demonstrably failed to deter the underlying supply network. Front companies reconstitute in months. The practical recommendation is direct: require verification mechanisms as a condition of any Chinese pledge. Every diplomatic pledge China has issued since 1991 has been accepted without any agreed inspection, reporting, or monitoring mechanism. Future agreements should require China to submit annual reports on exports of MTCR-controlled items for independent review, with automatic sanctions restoration if the reporting is absent or demonstrably incomplete. The central takeaway is this: the documented timeline matters because it separates what is established from what is inferred, and it makes the uncertainty visible instead of hiding it. This episode was adapted from the full evidence-graded timeline, where you can read the source-linked paper, review each confidence label, and inspect the evidence directly. Every claim sourced, every conclusion labeled. ZeroAgendaNews.com.